A brief curriculum note before we get into the product stories today. Because the Paramount Warner Bros. Discovery merger, the Apple Klarna deal, and the NVIDIA data center news all touch antitrust questions in different ways, and it is worth grounding that conversation. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, makes two basic things illegal: agreements that restrain trade and monopolization. The word monopoly gets used loosely in public discourse, but legally, it means something specific. A company does not violate antitrust law simply by being dominant or even by having a very large market share. What matters is whether that company acquired or maintained dominance through anti-competitive conduct, predatory pricing, exclusionary contracts, tying arrangements, rather than through building a genuinely superior product. The classic analogy is a single bakery in a small town. If it became the only bakery because it made better bread at lower prices, that is not an antitrust violation. If it became the only bakery because it signed exclusive contracts with every flour supplier in the county to lock out competitors before they could open, that is the Sherman Act. Market share alone triggers scrutiny, but not liability. The government has to prove both the power and the abuse.
That context matters directly for the Paramount Warner Bros. Discovery situation. David Ellison told staff he is confident the merger will close, but 12 state attorneys general are fighting it in court, and the Ellisons face a $9.8 billion breakup fee if it collapses. The antitrust argument against the merger is not just about combined market share in streaming. It is about what content libraries, plus distribution infrastructure, plus advertising reach create in terms of negotiating leverage over cable operators and advertisers. That is the conduct plus power analysis that Sherman Act cases require.
The Apple Klarna deal is a different kind of story. Apple Upgrade replaces the iPhone upgrade program with a lease financing arrangement. No interest, no fees, for iPhones, Macs, iPads, and Apple Watches. Partnering with Klarna rather than building proprietary financing keeps the credit risk off Apple's balance sheet while extending the hardware replacement cycle in a way that serves both companies. For Klarna, Apple is a distribution channel of 1.5 billion active device users. For Apple, Klarna handles the consumer credit infrastructure that Apple could not offer in-house without triggering banking regulation. It is elegant in a way that looks simple from the outside and is not.
Incoming Apple CEO Ternus vowing to expand the streaming push is the more strategically interesting announcement. Ternus comes from hardware. He ran the product design engineering team, and his commitment to streaming suggests Apple is not treating Apple TV Plus as a side project. The streaming economics for Apple are different from everyone else. Apple does not need the streaming service to be profitable in isolation. It needs it to reduce subscriber churn for the broader Apple One bundle. A subscriber who watches one Apple TV Plus show a week is 30% less likely to leave the ecosystem. That is what Ternus is defending, not the streaming business itself.
NVIDIA being revealed as the tenant behind Hut 8's $50 billion Texas data center is significant for what it tells us about NVIDIA's vertical ambition. Buying compute, building the infrastructure around it, securing long-term contracts, NVIDIA is not just selling chips anymore. It is positioning itself as a full-stack AI infrastructure provider, which puts it in competition with the cloud hyperscalers, who are also its largest customers. That is a channel conflict that Jensen Huang is managing very carefully, and the Hut 8 revelation suggests the management is more aggressive than the public posture indicates.
The Robinhood CEO story, where a hacker bypassed X's security to promote a fake meme coin, is small on its own, but representative of something larger. Platform security failures that enable financial fraud at scale are the new definition of critical infrastructure risk. When a compromised social media account can move real capital before the fraud is even detected, the security model is no longer adequate for the stakes involved. New York finalizing age verification rules for social media is a related thread. Both are about platforms bearing more responsibility for what flows through them.
The Hugging Face deepfake nudification report is the most direct expression of the stakes in xAI's lawsuit against Minnesota's AI nudification ban. The report found that most image editors available on the platform can be used to create non-consensual intimate images. XAI's First Amendment argument against the Minnesota law is legally coherent. There are real constitutional questions about regulating tools versus regulating conduct. But the policy problem the law is trying to solve is real. A significant majority of AI deepfake abuse targets women, often young women, and the harm is measurable and serious. These two things, the legal argument and the harm, can both be true, which is why this will be litigated for years.
ChatGPT's new policy of refusing to mimic named author styles is worth a moment. This came after sustained legal and advocacy pressure from the Authors Guild and individual writers. OpenAI made this change without announcing a formal policy shift, which is itself revealing. The company is adjusting behavior in response to pressure while avoiding the kind of categorical statement that would invite further demands. Whether this holds against technically sophisticated users who simply describe a style without naming the author is a question the literary community is already asking.